Just want my piece of the American pie. Got your slice, where is mine? Lick my fingers on this thing called life. Just a piece of the American pie. Break the chain of old beliefs. I'm the flame that you can't unsee.
Hello, and welcome to episode 55 of Black Girl Squeak, the podcast where we celebrate Black femme genius with a
squeak!
I am Dee Dee. I go by Des Daughter on Twitter.
And I am Enda. I go by Enda's Corner on Twitter.
And you can find Black Girl Squeak on Twitter, Tumblr, also Apple Podcasts and Google Play Podcasts. We have a Patreon at patreon.com/blackgirlsqueak. And you can find us individually at Enda's Corner and at Dust Daughter. And our podcast Twitter is at blackgirlsqueak. And our email is blackgirlsqueak@gmail.com. All of our episodes are up at blackgirlsqueak.simplecast.fm, and you can add our RSS feed there to your favorite podcatcher and listen to the show in any app you want. So with that, a few housekeeping notes. One, we have a spoiler policy that we spoil shit, and we're not sorry about it. We squee real loud and cuss a lot, and occasionally talk about peeing.
Yes.
We're really not sorry about that. So,
not at all.
Also, last but not least, watch Pose on FX Sunday nights at 9 p.m. There's two more episodes in season one, don't feel bad if you missed it, because season two is coming, bitches, for that ass in 2019. And we'll talk more about that later. But just get in where you fit in and watch Pose on FX, goddammit. So, that said, that's the end of our housekeeping notes, and now we're going to move on to squee-worthy news.
Okay, first off, I hope you've heard of this remarkable woman here, Teresa Patricia, I hope I say her last name right, Okumo. Okumo scales the Statue of Liberty to protest family separation. If you remember on the 4th of July, seeing a black woman sitting at the foot of the Statue of Liberty, that was Patricia. Okumo is an activist and a personal trainer. Wow, okay, this explains some things. Mm-hmm. Who lives in Staten Island, New York, and was born in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And as I said, on the 4th of July, she scaled the Statue of Liberty, and she refused to come down until all the migrant children separated from their families were released. But she was arrested, and she was charged with federal trespassing, disorderly conduct, and other charges. And I have to remember, she said, I was just remembering what Michelle Obama said, when we go high, I was trying to go as high as I could. Yeah.
I think she was released on bail.
Yeah, she was. She was.
But, she's also following the charge of Maxine Waters, and
yes,
this is civil disobedience and protest at its finest. So
yes,
and Brie Newsome, who took down the Confederate flag in Charleston, South Carolina, gave her kudos, so she has support from another Black Woman Hero.
Yep.
So, all the best to Therese Patricia Akumo, and a big
scream!
Okay, so this one's going to take a minute. We have lots to be happy about with the Emmy Awards. As several Black women were nominated. And one non-Black woman makes history. So, first of all, there was a Lifetime movie about the Flint water crisis called Flint that featured Queen Latifah. I think there was a bit of controversy online about it, that they're making movies about it but doing nothing to actually solve the problem. Yeah. But it's actually nominated for television movie at the Emmys. Regina King was nominated for lead actress in a limited series or television movie for 7 seconds. Issa Rae scores her first nomination for her show Insecure. And Tracee Ellis Ross gets another nomination for Black-ish. And they're nominated in lead actress in a comedy series. And Sandra Oh made history when she was nominated as the first Asian woman in a lead actress category.
Yay!
She is nominated for lead actress in a drama series for Killing Eve. So, and this isn't the first time she's ever been nominated, but she was nominated in the late aughts for Grey's Anatomy in the supporting actress category.
Okay. I was wondering about that.
So, yeah, and she lost one time to a very untalented show killer that just goes from show to show, getting stuff canceled, and now she's on Suits, and I'm glad Gina's got her own show. So, and yes. Meghan Markle is gone too, so I don't even care no more.
I know, right?
So, anyways, hopefully Sandra Oh will continue making history when she wins this award. Knock on wood. Let's see. So, Tandy Newton is nominated for Supporting Actress in a Drama Series for Westworld. And Zazie Bates is nominated for Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series for Atlanta. And this is her first nomination. So, congrats to her. And it's kind of interesting how I think her profile has been raised because of Deadpool 2, and that's why she was nominated. It might have contributed to her being nominated this year over the first season of Atlanta. And the same might apply to Letitia Wright.
Yes.
Who was nominated for her performance in the Black Museum episode of Black Mirror. I'm so glad that she was nominated because maybe now people will talk more about it, that episode in particular. Mm-hmm. Adina Porter was nominated for her role in American Horror Story Cult.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're more familiar with Adina Porter from her role in Underground.
Yes.
Curly Mae. Let's see. So, Viola Davis was not nominated for lead actress in a drama series this year. She was nominated for guest actress in the drama series because she participated in the scandal How to Get Away with a Murder crossover.
Wow.
Yeah. The only problem with this is that means she's up against Cicely Tyson for How to Get Away with Murder. Which,
she should have won that 2 years ago.
Yes, basically. And she's also up against Samira Wiley, one of my ex-wives in my head, for The Handmaid's Tale. So, yeah, this is going to be an interesting category. Guest actress in a comedy series has Tiffany Haddish for hosting Saturday Night Live, and also Maya Rudolph for her performance in The Good Place, which that made me smile because she was very fun in that show. Also, Wanda Sykes was nominated for Black-ish. Just as a reminder, Wanda Sykes was actually on Black-ish for, I want to say, a couple of seasons before she moved.
Oh, really?
Before she moved over to the show that will not be named. Was the check that good, Wanda? Was it? Anyway, she went for Black-ish to that. Anyway, okay. And for writing for a comedy series, Stephanie Robinson gets a nomination for Barbershop, which is the funniest episode of Atlanta in season two. And, it basically just follows, Brian Tyree Henry's character trying to get a haircut from like the most distracted barber who has like literally five or six side hustles that he takes Al's character on.
Oh my God.
Before he can get his hair cut. So it's a really funny episode. And yes, kudos to Stephanie Robinson, who is the only woman in Atlanta's writer's room, for getting a nod. And I hope she wins. So, those are all of the Black women nominated for Emmy Awards, and just want to say that a lot of the Latinx shows and actors this year didn't receive any recognition. Shows like One Day at a Time got nothing, Jane the Virgin, Stephanie Beatriz on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Nothing. It's like 2018 and we're just now getting an Asian woman nominated for lead actress in a drama.
Nominate Justine Machado or Rita Moreno.
No.
For One Day at a Time. What is wrong with you?
Basically. The legend. The EGOT. Rita Moreno.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Do better.
I mean, One Day at a Time, that's one of those rare cases they elevated from the first season. They really did. Because the first season was excellent. Second season was even more excellent. And that, oh.
And they can't make the excuse that, oh, it's because it's on a streaming network and that's why. Mm. Because Netflix had the most nominations out of any network, streaming or broadcast.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Netflix beat out HBO this year as far as nominations. So don't give me that bullshit. You could have recognized one day at a time, but you wanted to recognize these other shows, these white shows first.
Yeah, and I also have to say, what do y'all have against Queen Sugar? What do y'all have against Queen Sugar? What do y'all have against Claws?
Yeah.
Because those are, well, one, Queen Sugar, y'all really just don't like serious drama about black people, do you? Claws, even though I kind of see that as, you know, more dramedy, more, you know, crime, you know, drama or whatever, I'm like, the writing on that show is great. I mean, the writing on that show is, it's unique, it's bizarre, and like, you don't really have anything else like it, and they, those five women, they just have such a good rapport with each other, and you know, you don't recognize that.
And they've nominated Niecy Nash before, so you would think the Academy would want to, you know, follow up on what she's doing now, but so, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know what it is, what problem they have with Queen Sugar, but I don't get it.
Should have been has.
Yeah.
But all I know is next year, because I think it was a bit too late for Nas this year, if y'all don't nominate Afri Wood for Mariah Dillard.
Yeah. Yeah, it came out too late. I think the cutoff was in May.
Yeah, because I'm like, I think this had to be a bit late for Nas this year. So that's why I'm not upset about that.
Also, but next year is the year of Pose. All up in the Emmy nominations. All up in them.
Yeah.
All up in there. MJ Rodriguez, India Moore, Dominique Jackson, Angelica Ross, the lady that plays Lulu, whose name I'm not remembering right now. Billy fucking Porter. All of these people better be all up in these nominations. Or I'm coming to Hollywood with firepower. So I don't know where I'm going to get it, but it's going to happen.
We will conjure it somehow.
Pose all up in your Emmys next year. What's up? Okay. So to all of the black women nominated for Emmys, we give a big
All right. So our next item in Squeeworthy news, Lashana Lynch has been cast in Why the Last Man. This is a series based on a graphic novel by Brian K. Vaughan and Pia Guerra. Lynch will play Agent 355. And I'm not exact. I'm not really familiar with her, but Melina Matsoukas, I hope I said that right, was going to direct the pilot. Aida Mashaka Kroll from Luke Cage will serve as one of the showrunners and executive producers. Okay, so we got some women behind the scenes, because I'm not actually familiar with this graphic novel, but I am here for Lashana Lynch being cast in all the things, because you know we still salty over here for because of reasons. But
she still is our crush. She'd still be on my TV. But
yeah. Whatever. Yeah. I wanted to say she was in something else, too. Isn't she going to be in Captain Marvel, too?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah, Lashana Lynch and all the things.
Get them checks, girl.
Yes, please.
Yes, this is a high-profile thing, and because it's a well-loved comic book series, and I think it's like at the end of the world, and there's literally only one man left in the world, and he's looking for his girlfriend or something like that. And Agent 355 actually serves as his like bodyguard or something like that, and she's basically a badass or whatever. So this will be really good. So a lot of people are going to know her name
Yes.
in a little bit. So Lashana Lynch, watch the space.
Yes.
So to Lashana and Melina and Ida, just all of these black women up in this, let's go, let's get it. Let's give a big speaking of Squee, my beloved Renaissance woman, Danai Gurira, is in talks for two new film projects. She's in early talks to star in Godzilla vs. Kong, which is, I guess, continuing that series of films. I think the last one was Kong Island or something like that. She's also under consideration to be in the next Star Trek film.
Hi.
And she's the new face of Reebok. So, she's 40. She's 40.
Yeah.
She doesn't look it, but she's 40.
I've seen the pictures and oh my God.
Have mercy. She's lovely. She is lovely.
Yes.
So she's doing, and she's already had, I mean, she's already, I think, Americana, her adaptation of Americana, I think that she's writing. I don't know if she's directing, but she's definitely writing the script for that. Or she's writing, and she's working on another project with Lupita Nyong'o as well. So she's, yeah, she's got a full slate ahead of
She
her.
stay working.
She do. Like, I don't know how she's gonna be able to fit in Walking Dead anymore. Like, is she still gonna be on that show or not? Or will
I don't
she?
know, 'cause I know. I mean, I'm wondering if she's gonna leave with Andrew Lincoln, 'cause I know he's about to leave, but and I don't know. I haven't watched that show since like season three.
Well, I haven't watched it since they killed off a beloved character in season six, and I never will. I'm done with that show, and I hope she is too, because she is too good for that show.
Yeah, she's just got way too much going now. I mean, she can leave.
Yes.
She won't miss it.
Yes.
You know.
Your last picture made $1 billion with a B.
Yes. And you are getting nominated for awards for your role in it, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, to Danai Gurira, we give a big squeeze.
I feel like this one is also still your squeak.
Okay.
It just
Whatever.
is.
Pose renewed for season
Yay!
two. Bitches! I think this was announced like Thursday, and it has been getting me through. It got me through a long Friday at work, and it's getting me through. I'm just so happy. Because there was so much talk about, not enough people supporting, and the ratings not being good enough, and white gays not watching because it's centered around brown and black people of color, who are queer and trans, and that still may all be true, but who gives a fuck? We're getting at season two.
Yes.
We're getting a season two. Pose has the largest cast of trans actresses as series regulars, and these are trans actresses playing trans characters. What you know about that? Johansson, Stephen Canals co-created the show, and he's a writer I am an executive producer of the show. And of course, another Renaissance woman, Janet Mock, is a producer. She's written 3 episodes this season and just directed the latest episode that featured a fight scene, a musical where we heard Billy Porter sing For All We Know by Donny Hathaway.
Oh, no.
And
is this just
going to
make me cry?
Yeah.
This just make me just cry buckets. Oh.
Yeah. And MJ Rodriguez sang Home from The Wiz.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
This is,
yeah,
so good.
Nobody's.
And
dang, just good for all my feels.
Like, no, the degree of difficulty for her directing this episode was hot. I mean, for her first episode, she had to do a fight scene, a musical, a confrontation between a wife and a mistress. She had to do all kinds of pathos between a man and his a dying boyfriend. There was an intervention over empanadas, and
empanadas.
What a character says: they lured me in with empanadas, and then they staged a motherfucking intervention. I was like. This show is everything. I'm sorry. This show is everything.
Okay.
So, Janet is... She's everything. The episodes that she's written have been phenomenal. This, the episode that she directed was phenomenal. She's making history as the first trans woman of color to write and direct for a television show. The show is so good, and it's renewed for season 2. Get into it. So, because you need to be familiar with these actresses when they get nominated for their Emmys next year. So
we speak that into existence.
Space? Yes. I'm putting that in the universe.
Yes.
MJ Rodriguez, Emmy nominee. India Moore, Emmy nominee. Angelica Ross, Emmy nominee. We're doing this. Let's go.
Also, Janet Mock, Emmy nominee.
Yes!
Writing, directing.
Writing and directing. Yes! Yes, yes. You see the vision.
That was,
you see it. You see
yes.
It. Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. So, to the lovely ladies of Pose, and to the lovely co-creator Stephen Canals, we give a big... Season 2! Alright.
Okay, we do have a little bit of music news. Shay Diamond released her EP, Seen It All, a couple weeks ago, and... She has an interview featured in Paper Magazine, which I am highly recommending that you go read. Shay came to our attention in 2016 with her single, I Am Her, and she was in the process of making her EP then. That was my favorite song of the year. She released Seen It All, like I said, about 2 weeks ago, and it features 5 songs, including I Am Her, American Pie, and Keisha Complexion. The music, it does tackle issues she's faced as a dark-skinned black trans woman, and her interviewer is Justin Trenner, who she worked with on this EP. I think she co-wrote with him, and he may have been producer, I forget that much, but yeah, she mentions a lot of things in this interview. She does talk about, you know, like things like body dysmorphia, gender dysmorphia, and suicide ideation, and some other traumatic incidents that shaped her life. So if you read this, I'm just saying, you know, practice self-care, because, I mean, it's not like really graphic detail or anything, but you know how sometimes you can just you know, be triggered by things if, you know, you start thinking about it too much. But fortunately, she also does talk about, like, love and support she got over years, or particularly from her foster mother. She says, people didn't just tell me that I would never be great. They tried to ensure it. So to have one person that saw me for me was everything. She didn't just see a trans child, didn't just see me being dark-skinned. She saw my heart and my capacity to love. She saw my talent, my compassion, and my commitment. And talking about her track, you know, for American Pie, when she released the visual, she says, it was this notion of just wanting the American dream. Everything is American here. We even have an American Eagle and American Pie. I just thought, I'm American. I have the same rights and the same desires as everyone else. So who is going to say that my want is not a need? People say you're a trans person and you don't deserve to be happy. You had to have a husband. Basically, they want God to punish you, and God's not doing it fast enough, so they want to do it.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, she broke down so much stuff in this interview. I mean, this is why I want everybody to listen to her music, because also...
She sings down. She can sing.
She can. I mean, her voice just knocks me the fuck out every time.
Yes.
It really does. That's just how... That's how beautiful her voice is. Of course she's Southern raised. I mean, of course.
Okay.
I mean, of course. Yes. That's a Southern girl right there. So also in the interview, you know, she talks about her response to experiences with record labels, like people trying to coerce sexual favors from her. And they didn't even want her to do music about her trans experience. They were like, well, we don't want her story to overshadow the music. Can she just do a dance record instead? But... No, she held fast, and she's not singing about no bullshit on this EP. I mean, I like dance music, so, you know, sometimes you really do need that, but she wanted to do her music.
Yeah.
You know, she wanted to do it, and she has every right to that. And so, really, just go listen to this EP. It is just one of the most beautiful things you will hear all year. I mean, like I said, that voice is just...
Amazing.
Yes. It is unlike anything else, you know, you are going to hear. And she ain't singing about no bullshit with it.
And, yeah, the last thing we need right now is more bullshit, so.
Yes. Yes.
Come on with it, Shay Diamond.
Yes. All right. So, for Shay Diamond, for Seen It All, go listen to it now, after the show. We give a big
scream. Do that and then watch Pose. So
yes. But listen to it before and after you watch Pose.
See, yes, bookends. So after all that squee, it's time to hand out a couple of fades. Oh boy. I don't want to talk about it. I mean, it's been talked about enough, but we're just going to run through this one right quick.
Okay.
Y'all's girl, Black Widow, Scarjo, Scarlett Johansson. Ugh. It's just being trash. She agreed to play a trans man in a movie called Rub and Tug, which is about, actually is based on the life of a trans man, and is presented as a sort of Oscar bait movie, because...
Mm-hmm.
It seems like whenever people are out to nab an Oscar nomination, they want to play something other than, you know, what they are. Whether it be a gay person or a trans person or a person with disabilities or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she, as a cis woman, agreed to play a trans man. There, of course, there was a lot of backlash on the internet.
Yep.
From from a lot of people. I mean, yeah. And she had her publicist respond to the backlash initially by telling folks to talk to Jeffrey Tambor and Felicity Huffman and other cis actors who have played trans roles.
Eddie Redmayne.
Yes. Which is not the response. It's not. It's a very flippant response to give. And it's very, it's saying that this is just a naked grab for Oscar nominations, which is funny, because girl, you can't act.
Girl.
When has she ever, okay. When has she ever emoted? When, Enda? Tell me.
I can't. Because I haven't seen it. And I've seen a few of her films. Besides, whatever the MCU's Black Widow, whoever her name is. Because I forgot. I don't really care. And there's just no range. She really ain't got the range.
She has none. None. Oh, Lord. So to actually think that she was going to get herself an Oscar. Anyway,
And I'm just, even though she pulled out, I'm like, the only reason you did this is because you were trying to salvage the Black Widow movie. Because you know what, nobody gonna be interested in that either, because you just sat there and made an ass of yourself.
And nobody actually, I mean, there's a few people that still are, but I just can't imagine a lot of people being here for this role right now. It's been 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, even some of the white women who are excited about it now just kind of looking at her like, yeah, this is about 5 years too late. We don't care anymore. You know, we've moved on. We've seen Okoye now.
Thank you. I would rather have Okoye and Nakia fucking shit up all
yes.
over the world. Give me that
yep.
movie.
Yep.
So there's that. She can have all the fades. When will she stop being trash? Just absolute basura.
I don't know. I don't know when. People finally just wise up and stop paying to see her and shit. Because, I mean, people are about to now. Because people really aren't as forgiving of women most of the time as they are for men. And if their backlash hit her hard enough, yeah. It's going to be box office poison and ain't nobody going to give a shit.
Yeah. She really picked a bad time to do this. I mean.
Really? Really.
Now that we've actually seen trans actresses.
Thank you.
playing trans people and seeing what they can do. And hopefully shows like Pose will just open, you know, and movies like Tangerine will kind of
yes.
open it up for more actresses.
Yes.
So hopefully this is the beginning of better things. Anyways.
Yeah. I'm just so mad that, like, somebody was, like, defending her. You need a box office name to open a movie. I'm like, girl, Maya Taylor wasn't even acting before she got Tangerine. She won a fucking major award for that.
And that movie was filmed on iPhone. Like.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Y'all make all the excuses y'all want, and while these movies from bankable stars, so-called bankable stars, flop left and right, and small movies like Moonlight win Best Picture, and
yep.
Yeah, Nah.
Somebody pointed that out to her too.
Like, who was the bankable star in Moonlight? I mean, the biggest name was Naomi Harris.
Yep, she was a supporting character.
Yes. Maybe Janelle Monáe for music fans?
Yeah, that's what I was, you know, thinking, like, but she is more music, but still maybe, but it's like her part wasn't big enough
right.
to be a draw
right.
for the film itself. But I mean, she was a delight to see.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so you're, come with some better arguments. Or,
yeah.
Or just don't come at all. Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
So, anyways, ScarJo can get all the fades, and I look forward to not going to see Black Widow.
Yep.
So, this is just something that bugs me during live tweets of Pose, Sunday Nights at 9
oh.
on FX. Pose, Sunday Nights at 9 on FX. Like, it's like every episode, if a trans woman character does something that might potentially make one of the cis male characters angry, they're like, oh, she might die. She might get murdered. I'm like, and like every week there's one or two people saying that on social media, and it just really, really, really bothers me. Because the people that make the show have made it a point not to include that violence, but it's like y'all are just, it's like folks are just thirsty,
mm-hmm.
just bloodthirsty,
mm-hmm.
and it's really sad. And it makes me angry. Like, this ain't Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
This is a whole different type of show. Anyway, writer and director for Pose, Janet Mock, says, quote, "We wanted to show that trans women's bodies are desirable and not always points of trauma or violence." She said that on Twitter. She also said that she wanted to undo the link between our bodies as being points or targets of violence and ridicule. So people who keep saying, oh, so-and-so character is going to die or whatever, like, they're missing the point. Like, yes, like, one of them's involved with a white married man, and yes, a lot of white men are prone to homicide.
Yeah.
That's just a truth that remains self-evident. But that doesn't mean that's going to happen on this show. They didn't cast the most trans actresses as series regulars in TV history just to pick them off one by one for your amusement or whatever you want. Like, why do you want to see these women be harmed? Just to fit into your idea of what's realistic.
That's what I'm like. I'm like, they're kind of essential to the story being told, even more so than the people they got billed under.
Bloop. Okay. So, like, why do you want to see these people be hurt or killed? Why don't you want to see them, like, live and thrive? Like, the point of this show is to see these people thrive. So I just really wish people would stop tweeting stuff like that, because it just makes you, it makes you sound really morbid, and it makes you sound really, really silly, especially if the season ends and none of that shit happens, which I'm thinking will be the case. Y'all aren't gonna get all the abuse and violence that y'all want on this show, because it ain't that kind of show. So just stop. Anyways, those people can catch the fade.
Yep.
Sorry, that just, that irks me. Like, why do y'all want people to die so fast, but so bad? Like, why is everything on every show about who's gonna die? Like, this ain't The Walking Dead, where somebody gotta get chomped by zombies every week. God.
It just really is disturbing just how comfortable and how they expect black bodies to always be sites of violence.
But especially black trans bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, like, yes, yeah, we see that in the news a lot. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that we need to see it on this show. This groundbreaking show. Okay. Alright. So, now that all of the fades are out of the way, let's talk about some dick.
Yeah.
So, this episode's DWIDP is actor Elon Noel, who you may know as Daniel on HBO's Insecure, or in his starring role in the first Purge. Elon is from Brooklyn, New York, and he transferred from Morehouse College to study at NYU's Tisch School of the Arts. And if you Google his name, you will see why I have nominated him here. He's fine. And he's got the 6-8 pack going. He's got it all going on. A little on the short side, but still a cutie. So Insecure comes back in August for all the straight people's fighting needs. And straight people love to fight about this show on the internet, and I just be sitting back like, y'all need therapy.
I didn't need season 2 on it. I don't know. I guess maybe it's that these are literally 20-somethings, and I don't relate.
It's messy. That's why I just be sitting back. Like, I'm older than you, and I just be sitting back and like watching y'all fight about this silly shit. Like, this is so silly. But
we're not gonna fight about him because he is fine.
He is. There's that. So looking forward to seeing more of him. Literally, because you know it's HBO, so maybe getting nudity and sex and stuff. So here's to seeing more of Mr. Noel on HBO's Insecure for season 3. And with that, we shall move on to Womanist Vocab.
All right. Okay, so today's womanist vocab word is displaced. Displaced means lacking a country, nation, home, etc. A displaced person has been forced to leave their native home. This is also referred to as forced migration. A displaced person who crosses an international border is usually legally designated as a refugee. Those who leave because of economic hardship are called economic migrants. Those who are forced to leave because natural or man-made disasters are called environmental migrants. Some also use the term displaced person derogatorily, but them being displaced isn't their fault, as we've all should have seen by now. So, displaced.
And so Therese Patricia Okumo was protesting on behalf of displaced people.
Yes.
Who have been harmed by by Cheeto Heads, just heartless immigration policies.
Yep.
So,
displaced. Quite frankly, the U.S. had a lot to do with a lot of the troubles that are happening, you know, in their homes where they come from in the first place.
And don't want to take them in.
Yep.
This is why they hate us.
Yep.
So, thank you for that. Real quick, you can find Black Girl Squee on Twitter, Tumblr, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. Where, of course, our Patreon is Black Girl Squee, patreon.com/blackgirlsquee. And our email is blackgirlsquee@gmail.com. We're also available on Apple Podcasts. We'd appreciate it if you rated and reviewed us there to let more people find out about the show. We're also on Google Play Podcasts, and you can add our RSS feed to your favorite podcatcher by going to blackgirlsquee.simplecast.fm. So, that is your squee for now. Until next time, bye.
Bye.
American pie, got your slice. Where is mine? Put my fingers on this thing called life. Just a piece of American pie. Break the chains of old beliefs. I'm the flame that you can't unstop.